Hello and welcome to The Cute Life with me, Finwy.
Me, Ollie.
yeah, Finwy is actually my real name. I don't know if you knew that. It's actually what I go by.
That
now
changes my opinion of you quite a lot, actually.
Pre saying anything, just want to apologise for Tova's sniffing and snuffling, because Ollie decided to put some dog treats. Sorry. Treats, can't say the T word in front of her or she goes bananas, on the table to try and, as a reward, if she's good during the podcast. But now it's just sitting at the table with us on a seat, sniffing and snuffling because she
and
knows.
And I've given her all of them already.
And you've already given her all the treats.
Well, what I didn't think about is the fact that she would go so
frantic.
Yeah, like a truffle pig snuffling into the table.
And I also have the really fun pregnancy symptom where I just do loads of inside burps all the time.
And hiccups,
yeah. So if I just randomly do one hiccup or make some weird gurgling noise, it's not my fault. I'm sorry.
But this is why people like podcasts.
It's going to be really fun to listen
to. It's realistic, isn't it?
It is like, yeah, this is...
We don't edit
this shit here. We're real.
And that's why you hear the farting, snuffling, hiccuping, burping. And that's just Finn.
And I'm also feeling very... Well, actually, I'm quite perky, even though I am so tired. I literally think that I'm going to fall asleep.
You've got the energy of a toddler before they start crying.
Oh my God, it's so true. So apologies if I just randomly start crying at the end of this.
Or during it.
I have this lovely thing called sciatica, which you get in pregnancy, where I just can't fucking sleep at night because my hips hurt so much. And it's really not fun, and I just toss and turn in pain all night. So that is going to be great for the next almost 3 months. Mm-hmm. Not very pleasant. So I'm so tired. At least when the baby's here, I'll have something to do in the night while I'm lying awake, so...
Yeah, and also when you're dealing with the baby, you're not in actual physical pain.
Yeah, the physical pain...
Well, you hope not. Depends how evil the baby
mean,
is.
And also poor Ollie is like being woken up by me yelping.
Thank you. No one ever feels sorry for the man in these situations.
Being woken up by my painful, pitiful cries. Rolling over. Oh, it's awful.
And then a loud hiccup.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Very tired, hiccuping and snuffling in the Place household at the moment.
That's the joy of third trimester pregnancy.
Yeah, third trimester. 7 months tomorrow, bitches! it's very exciting. 7 months. I'm almost there.
It's exciting because it's like you can get those apps where it compares the size of your baby to fruits.
Yeah.
And Finn is now a...
Winter squash. They're all really weird things.
Yeah, what was the last one?
Papaya.
Yeah.
I've never eaten a papaya. Like, I don't know what size one is.
Like, has anyone in your life ever been like, oh, yeah, like, how big was that painting you did?
About the size of a papaya.
Like, it's a weird way of measuring things.
Or it's like animals. Like a Maltese puppy was one.
Yeah.
A hedgehog.
What's strange is like the... So many of the fruit and veg they do, like, those things can massively vary in size as well.
Yeah, it's so true.
So it's like everyone's got their own personal, I guess, you know, it's just giving you a rough idea. But it's funny because now Finn's a winter squash, which I guess is like a butternut squash or a pumpkin or something.
I think it's a small pumpkin. It's a small ornamental pumpkin that you get in Aldi.
And
that is what I've got in my belly.
That's what you're carrying around. No wonder your hips don't work.
I know.
But we were sort of saying that, like, it's interesting that we were so... like amazed when the app said you were like the size of like a kiwi.
Yeah, I remember her being a grape and us being like, oh my God, can you believe she's a grape? And now I'm a fucking winter squash. It's
no, I wouldn't
insane.
Even, I wouldn't even bother looking at a grape. I wouldn't even eat a grape.
I remember when she was like a tiny little like seed. They said she was a pumpkin seed and we were like, wow.
Wow, that's amazing. You were carrying a pumpkin. Like, whatever.
Whatever. We're all about
Call me when you got a winter squash.
Yeah, we're all about the winter squashes now. So yeah, that's how everything generally is.
And I'm fine, thanks for asking.
And Ollie's fine.
It's not all about you.
Yes, it is. My podcast. Oh, yeah, you're my guest, bitch.
I am your guest, bitch.
Bitches.
I just saw, in turn, talking of guest bitches,
yeah,
that, do you know Joe Rogan, his podcast?
I don't listen to it, but I know of
him. He's the one who sold the rights to his podcast for Spotify for some insane amount of money.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it like 3 million or... No, it was more than that, wasn't it? 10 million? It was a lot.
Something like that, yeah. It was something mad like that. So on his last podcast, he was saying that he wanted to host a debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, where it would just be him and those two on his podcast for 4 hours.
Oh my God.
No editing, just straight.
So, was he the one who had Obama on his podcast?
No, that was Mark Maron.
Oh, sorry.
But they're similar kind of, yeah, they're very similar kind of okay. things. But Joe Rogan's a bit more of a like mad conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
And he loves smoking weed and MMA, that fighting.
Oh. The fake wrestling?
No, the real one.
Oh, okay.
Like UFC kind of fighting. But yeah, so he tweeted about it, and Donald Trump just tweeted like a few hours ago saying, I'd do it.
No.
And if that happens, it'll be the most amazing podcast. Because
I don't want to listen to that. Can you actually imagine 4 hours of Donald Trump talking his absolute nonsense?
Joe Rogan's mad. He's really good friends with Duncan Trussell.
Love Duncan Trussell.
So they talk about all like multi-universes and time travel and things like
Alistair
that.
Aleister Crowley.
So imagine Joe Rogan talking to Donald Trump about time travel while Joe Biden just falls asleep because he's old. I mean, the best podcast in history.
Yeah,
it'll never happen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let them.
We can hope. We can hope and pray.
But if Donald's listening to this, he can come on this podcast as well. Joe Biden is not welcome. I'm making my political stance.
Those are not my views, everyone. They're
all mine. I don't know why I said that. I'm not American.
Oh, God's sake.
Taylor's crying to get out.
That's the time of the podcast where Taylor cries to go out. And it's even more annoying this episode because she's sitting on like plastic sheeting because we're painting a cupboard. So
you can really hear her rustle.
So she's rustling.
Well, that was part
crying.
Of the treats. The treats was to keep her off the rustling plastic.
Oh, she's such a pain in the ass.
Anyway, just talk over her. No one can hear that.
Okay. What should we talk about?
Normally you have a cute thing.
Oh, my cute thing I've just put Instagram.
That is cute.
That's the only thing I've written. Because I meant to ask you for that Instagram account and I forgot. So Ollie's got my cute thing this week. And Ollie's like, what cute account? Basically, Ollie was lying in bed this morning because I was like really, really fucking tired and feeling quite miserable. So he was just like showing me this account and it's just full of cute animals and cute little kids dressed in like... oh my God, it's just about... Okay, so it's called... Oh my God. Migonet?
Yeah.
Migonet takes pictures.
Mig, MIGNONETTE, takes pictures.
I mean, it's relevant because I'm going to link it below so you can, like, go and check it out. But it's just pure joy in an Instagram account. And it just I just had to share it.
It's everything that Finn likes in life. It's children dressed like little winter Moomins.
Oh, little winter Moomins.
Baby koalas, animals. Fluffy animals.
Fluffy animals. It's just, like, cheered me right up.
Animals in hats.
I mean, frankly, it's just kept me going throughout the day. So, yeah.
Every time you hit a low. It's like, you know, when heroin addicts take a bit of, like, Oxycontin just to keep them going.
Yeah, this is my
this
heroin.
Is your fix. Yeah, exactly. I've just got to keep going. I need a little bit more. Just
more.
Take the edge off. Just a little bit. And you're like, oh, there's a dog with a leaf on its head. Thank
oh,
God.
My God. Whew, oh, that's back. The sweet stuff. I can feel it flowing through my veins. Yeah, it's just insanely cute and cheered me up. So I thought everybody needs to know about this. So I shall link it in the show notes.
But it's like, how do you end up running an Instagram account where you just put cute pictures on Instagram and you have like 400,000 followers? Imagine the pressure of trying to find cute stuff.
Oh my God, it would
I bet whoever runs that spends hours every day just like desperately scrolling through stuff.
Well, I follow this account on Twitter, which is Out of Context Adventure Time, you know, yeah. the cartoon Adventure Time by Pendleton Ward,
mm-hmm.
or was previous. He didn't do the latest series, did
no,
he?
No, he stopped doing it, but he still invented it.
Yeah, anyway, Adventure Time. And she said that she literally just watches, she's just watched every episode of Adventure Time about 10 times, just over and over and over again, just constantly, because she needs to keep up with but the
to
Twitter
what end?
Account.
What does she get out of it?
Nothing. I don't think she gets anything.
Does she not
literally
get money?
She's got loads of followers, and that she just posts like screen grabs from each episode, just completely out of context, and people fucking love it, and the pressure to keep up with this.
Does she not even
again.
Have that like coffee thing where people can send
I don't,
money?
I don't think, well, maybe. I haven't really looked into it, but yeah.
That's so mad.
I know.
It?
I don't know. I assume she's doing it on the side and it's not her whole job. Just watching
it. Imagine if it was, though.
You'd get fucking sick of it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, what do they say? Never turn a hobby into a job.
Yeah.
Bit late
what,
for you.
What? Exactly. What TV show could you watch? Oh, we already talked about this. What TV show could you watch over and over again?
To run a Twitter account about.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to go for a long one. Not one which is just like two series.
Yeah, because I was literally going to say Over the Garden Wall and Freaks and Geeks, and they're both one series.
Yeah, and you do watch them endlessly.
I do.
I mean, what would be a really good... You could do Fraser.
Buffy. I could do that.
Yes.
22 episodes, 7 series.
I mean, 20... you were watching a lot of Buffy, weren't you?
Yeah, I really think I could do a mastermind quiz on it.
I thought you were going to say a master's on it.
Is there a master's in Buffy? I'd definitely enroll.
That'd be even more of a waste of money than an art yeah. degree.
How much is it? Like 9 grand a year yeah. now. What would I do with it? Become a vampire slayer.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, duh.
So now
we're saying
that...
things at the same time at the moment. We've spent way too much time together.
Yeah, I guess it's that 7 months together that really did it.
It's like when we were walking down that road and we looked in that shop window and it was just full of like crochet stuff, and we just turned to each other and went tat at exactly the same time. It was perfect. Oh, we're such bitches.
But you finally finished Buffy now.
Finally finished Buffy.
Well, it means so you got to watch something new.
I was totally at a loss at what to watch, but I found something fucking excellent that I'm going to force you to watch, which I've already told you about, but I'm telling everyone at home that I'm forcing you to watch it. Catch 22 on 4OD. I saw the adverts for it, and I feel like they advertised it quite a lot, and then it just sort of like...
Was this a few years ago?
No, it was this year. Definitely this year. Earlier this year.
Pre-lockdown or post-lockdown?
Pre, I think, maybe.
Those are the days.
That's why it didn't do so well, maybe. Everyone was still...
everyone was happy then.
Everyone still had lives. It's based on the book, the very famous book, who I can't remember the author because it's so famous.
Yeah.
Which I did read when I was a teenager, but literally can't remember one word of it or what happened because, I mean...
What about the bit where 17. He goes, this is a catch 22?
I didn't even remember what the catch 22 was.
But... No, neither did I, and I think I've read it as well.
Yeah, but it was superb, like really fantastic. Like, I'm not particularly, I mean,
it was a war film, isn't
yeah,
it?
I quite like stuff.
A war programme.
I do quite enjoy a war film, things to do with Second World War and First World War. And...
Sure, we all loved Harry Styles in Dunkirk.
Oh, Jesus.
Count me in.
But yeah, no, I just thought it's so good. It's so well acted. It was gripping and harrowing and just really like realistic as well. Just like you felt very, what's the word?
Engrossed
and like it was really happening.
You're around you. Finn's seeing the weirdest hand movements now. Like she's like mimicking a ball around her head.
I
it ballooned your brain.
It's fucking great. That I will do a trigger warning. That
trigger warning.
There is obviously it's to do with war, so there is some gore, but there's also not very nice scene with the dog.
Mm. There's a website called Does the Dog Die?
Yeah.
And you can go on.
I don't know whether the dog died, but it's only very brief. But there is just as a pre-warning, because I know a lot of people are not on board with that. I'm not on board with it, but it is just like a flash. You don't. Yeah,
it's probably realistic though as well.
Yeah, so. But I honestly really, really recommend it. It was amazing. So I liked it so much that I'm literally going to watch it again with Ollie, like maybe even tonight. Like, and I watched it last week. I thought it was so fucking
good.
That's
a pretty good sign.
Really good.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's got like, George Clooney in it as well.
That does nothing for me.
He was the executive producer on it.
Oh. Yeah, like a dog dying. One dog dying in a whole war film is the most, like...
Yeah, it's always in the...
Worst part, isn't
in
it?
In the war...
I could watch thousands of humans die.
Yeah.
But then a dog dies, and you're like, oh, that poor dog.
No, and it's always horrible, like, when all the horses die. Like, I know they're just being really good actors, but it's always really sad when...
But it's based on a true story.
War. Films, yeah, I don't like it.
Well, here come the tears. Followed by a hiccup.
So yeah, that was the first one thing we were going to recommend.
Yeah.
We've also watched a couple of films this week by the same director.
The confusingly named David Robert Mitchell.
Yeah, isn't it? Because I was thinking, isn't even David Mitchell's name Robert in the middle?
No, so David Mitchell. So the reason it's confusing is because Peep Show has David Mitchell in.
Yeah.
And David Mitchell stars in it with Robert Webb. So it's like an amalgamation of both of their names.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I thought that was his name. And then afterwards I was like, no, I've made up a name based on many of the characters from Peep Show. But that is his real name.
Yeah.
But also there's an author called David Mitchell as well.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
Doesn't Who I don't think is related to this.
Doesn't he write history books or something?
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so we watched two of his films this week. We watched...
We're working backwards.
Yeah. So we watched...
Inadvertently.
We watched Under the Silver Lake, which was extremely long.
It's like 2.5 hours.
I swear it was longer than that. I swear
it was
like
for you because you fell asleep.
I fell asleep at the end.
But don't let that put you off.
It was quite... If you like Mulholland Drive... Sorry, I'm going to do...
Disgusting.
Sorry, it's the pregnancy. If you like Mulholland Drive, I definitely say give it a go because it was very kind of a similar ambiguous vibe.
Yeah, so it's a film about a guy who lives in LA, he's a bit of a slacker, and then he meets a girl, and then she disappears. So he meets the girl one night, goes to see her again the next day, and her apartment's completely empty, like they've moved out overnight. And then it's him tracking down what happened to her.
But then it just goes off on a completely...
Goes off on, like, weird tangents, kind of David Lynch-ish.
And it's just full of... I mean, we didn't realise this at the time, but we did a lot of, like, reading up about it afterwards. It's just full of, like, codes.
It's amazing. Like, I think that is as interesting as the film. Like, I really enjoyed the film. Like, it's got, like, quite mixed reviews, and you can sort of see why, because it's not, like...
It was very...
You know, it's a bit slower, and it's a little bit more hard work than some films. And also, it is a bit David Lynch rip-off-y in some ways, which seems to annoy some people, but I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, so I watched it all, and then I was, like, read this review about it, and then there's, like, basically people have worked out all these codes and symbols that are in the film that lead to this location that no one's ever visited yet, and then there's, like, a Reddit thing where people are trying to...
What, actually, in real life?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
So there's, like... So there's like a symbol in the film, and then if you look at the symbol, then it leads to another part of the film, and then that part of the film has a code, and if you decipher the code, then it deciphers three words, and then you go onto this app, and then it gives you a location, which is in this woods in America.
Oh my god, please can someone watch it? American listeners, please go and do this.
So basically someone went to try and find the location, but they couldn't get to it, because they said they basically, like, it's on the side of this mountain, and they basically approached it from the wrong way. This was like a month ago online.
What? This is so cool!
But what's amazing is this film came out in like 2017 or 18.
Oh my god,
and people are still
trying to work it out. Fuck.
Yeah, and I just thought, like, I'm maybe I don't know, maybe I'm just don't know about it. But I've never heard of another film doing anything like that. It's like engrossing it beyond the film. It's like turning...
I'm going. Just going to let Tova out because she's done nothing but cry. The entire time, it's really annoying.
But it's sort of it...
There you go, you're playing the backside.
Pushing the film beyond just it being the movie, and it's making it sort of interactive. There must have been other people who've done films like that.
Sure.
Something like that.
Anyway, I don't know. It was a really interesting film. I wouldn't say it was the best film that I've ever seen, but it was, like, very different to, yeah, your usual...
Oh.
Andrew... What's his name? Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything before.
Sugar Rush.
I don't think I've ever seen him in anything before. Apparently he was Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was Spider-Man, yeah.
But I'm not a child, so I don't watch Spider-Man films. And then, after the success of watching Under the Silver Lake, we watched It Follows last night.
Oh my god.
Which is the film that he did before, which is more universally enjoyed. Like, it's got better reviews, basically.
Yeah.
It
was a lot more fast-paced and, like, you didn't have to...
It's such a different film, though. It was really interesting. Like, it was... You would be surprised to find out they were the same person.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both kind of, like, arty and weird, but, like, it seemed pretty different.
This was... I described it like an art house The Ring.
Yeah.
It was genuinely terrifying, like, really scary. Like last night.
Wait, so it's basically the brief plot of the film is it's like you have, if you have sex with someone who's got this thing, then you start being followed. And when you're being followed, it basically means people walk towards you, these sort of like ghostly.
Yeah, it's like this kind of like, they're usually naked.
Mm.
And they take the form of just random people, or sometimes it takes the form of someone you know,
like dead or alive, dead just or random. Alive,
just random, and then it will just, it, wherever you are, it will be coming for you, and it's walking
at any time. Which is a really cool, like, creepy trope.
It was so creepy because, like, you just saw, it was quite fun to watch because, like, in the distance, a lot of the time, the main characters didn't notice, but you noticed just like a little figure appearing on
just
the
like
horizon,
an old lady
coming.
Just walking towards
them. It's horrible. It's giving me shivers.
So like, we're watching it, and like, basically, so like, if they're like in a house, like the person who's following will come up and then just like bang on the door or like smash a window and try and get in.
But like a couple of times it was like boom 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 boom, like just knocking on
like
the door,
really
like
intense.
Like intense, frantic knocking.
So we're watching the film, it's like 10 o'clock at night or something, we've got all the lights off because you want to get involved in watching a horror film, and then someone just starts banging on our front door.
So me and Ollie fucking shat ourselves. Because nobody ever knocks on our door.
Not at 10 o'clock at night.
Postman at 10 in the morning. So this was quite shocking for us. And then, in the middle of watching this. So then Ollie bravely went to open the door and...
It was a monster. No, it was a man. It was an ambulance.
Someone had called an ambulance to our house for some weird reason.
Well, according to the ambulance man.
According to the ambulance man. Our actual house, like with our address, so you didn't get the wrong door. It was very strange.
It was a bit, disconcerting.
It was very, we were just like, no. And then we were like, maybe they, like, were we screaming particularly loud? But they would have called the police, our neighbours, not an ambulance. But it was really funny because we were both being so suspicious because Ollie opened the door like a crack. Firstly, because it was 10 at night and we were like, who the fuck is knocking on our door? And secondly, because Tova's barking and going crazy and wanted to go out. And then I was sitting on the sofa with literally like a blanket up over my, practically over my head because I was so freaked out about this fucking stranger at the door. So he must have just been like, what is going on? Like,
I just think
I look like a beaten woman or something.
Well, that's what I thought afterwards. I was like, oh man, like we look so suspicious because like, I only opened the door like 1 inch because Tova's like gnawing at my leg trying to get out.
And then
out.
I was like in the background just like looking terrified.
Do you think I don't know if he could even see you.
I don't know. I thought he did. I thought he looked in at me.
He was like, blink once if you're being trapped in this house by this horrible man.
But in the film, like, because the monster takes the form of people you trust, that's what it said, and I was like, you'd fucking trust an ambulance man, wouldn't you?
Well, I didn't. I barely opened the door. So what are you doing, you little freak?
Anyway, so that was quite funny. And then, stupidly, because I was, like, lying awake last night, like tossing and turning with my bloody hip problem, I went into the spare room to sleep because I didn't want to wake Ollie up with my moaning, and then I had to sleep with the light on because I was so scared for the rest of the night.
It was a really stupid film to watch.
So stupid, because it was
before someone who's really tired is trying desperately to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, but if you like horror films, really recommend it. I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah. Maybe 8 out of 10.
I'd give it 8 out of 10.
Let's give it 8 out of 10.
Come on. Don't want to get too excited.
Yeah, so really recommend that.
Definitely,
give that a go, guys. Otherwise, I mean, that's kind of everything I had written. Sorry. For God's sake.
It's good to apologise first and then just silently wait while you do a little inside
burp. The only other thing that has really tickled me this week is this Twitter thread, which I'm going to link below, which is like, I want your favourite nasty compliments, ones that you've personally received. Mine's from when I was 21. I bumped into a girl I hadn't seen since high school, and she informed me that I'd really grown into my face. And they're just, oh my God, I was like lolling at them so much. Like, one of them was like, a guy in Brighton came up to him in a club and was like, oh,
what did he say?
I can't. I've lost it.
Presumably he said something after.
I've lost it. I'm too tired.
You've lost your mind.
I know. It was basically something like, oh God.
Fucking hell.
I'm moving on to the next one. Oh my God, what have I done? Oh, my health app was telling me I've done a certain amount of steps. Isn't that exciting, everyone? Oh God, no, I'm looking. Okay. A nasty comment from a plastic surgeon. He kept looking at me deeply over dinner and then said, wow, look at your face, it has so much potential. I love them. I did save it. I can find it.
Thank God.
Can go back to it. This one is really good. I had a colleague who told me I didn't look my age and then added, but as my auntie always says, balloons don't have wrinkles. So mean. And wait, I'm going to find, talk amongst yourselves. Oh God. Is it working? I saved it. Okay, it's coming up now. God, I'm sweating.
All the excitement.
It's really hot today. Oh, yeah. So, in a club in Brighton, a chap said that I was pretty, but a little too fat. And then he qualified it by adding, sadly, but you're not fat enough to be a fetish.
Aww.
So mean. But then I was trying to think of the, like, maybe, I couldn't think of any, like, I mean, I'm sure I've had billions, like, I've had lots of, like, backhanded comments about my art, like, I mean, that girl who I'm sure I've mentioned on the podcast before, who wanted to see my art and then took one look at it and said, oh wow, it's horrible, like, who even buys these? I mean, that's not a nasty compliment, that's just nasty.
That's just nasty bitch.
Yeah, she's just a nasty bitch, but I thank her in the long run, because I keep thinking about that whenever I have a success. I think about that comment that she said, and I think, fuck you, you stupid twat. And she kept me going. So,
I mean, you're definitely one of those people who, like, thrives on, you know, like, people say, like, oh, if someone says, like, you can't do something.
Oh, I'm like, fuck you, yes, I can.
That you thrive
I'm
on
gonna
that.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
That's literally what I thought when she said that to me. I'll show you, bitch. And I fucking have.
Well, I guess you'll have to mark this one for explicit language. You're off on a rant.
Can you remember anything anyone said to you? Like a nasty, backhanded comment?
No, not off the top of my head. It's quite a thing to be thrown at you. Well, I think the problem with this thread is, like, you were reading some of them out, and, like, a lot of them were just people writing times they'd been insulted, and I feel like they'd missed the point of the question slightly. And you were like, that's just a bit sad.
The best one. Oh, yeah. A cab driver once told me I looked like an uglier version of Catherine Zeta-Jones, but in a nice way, he added. And then I think I said, thank you. That's so good. I really liked one. I couldn't find it again, but it was like this guy was looking deeply into her eyes, like, and she was like swooning, and he was like, wow, you've got such amazing eyes. And she was like, really? And then he was like, yeah, one goes this way and the other one just goes the other way. So mean. Love them. Anyway, there's like millions and they're just so entertaining, so I'm gonna link them.
I think the problem is it's like
a lot of them are like weight related ones, like, you'd be pretty if you weren't so fat, which I feel like is a token one, like horrible mothers-in-laws and aunties say. There's a lot of like, yeah, mean aunties and mean mother-in-law comments on here.
I think the thing is like, I mean, I know everyone does this slightly, but it's like people, you think things and then you say it, but, yeah, but you've sort of forgotten that you haven't said the first bit.
Yeah.
So you're just like,
oh, I've definitely doozies. Yeah, I just don't, I don't, things always come out wrong whenever, and then I end up digging a hole because I try and backtrack. This one's quite funny. Me and my best friend were getting ready for a night out at another friend's house, who was quite an awkward guy. And when we were all dressed up, and he said to my friend, oh, Mel, you look nice. And then he turned to me and said, ah, Danielle, you look ready. I mean, to be fair, I think he was just shocked by her breasts because she's posted a picture of herself.
It's quite
and they are ample.
Certainly ready.
She's ready, all right.
She's ready to go.
Yeah, they're just like so great. Love it. Oh, this one. My mum was once talking about how handsome my brother was and realised I could hear, and said to me, but you have the nicest nose in the family. Oh, God. I literally could just read these all day. They're so funny. I love them. You just got to laugh at twats, don't you?
I think you've just got to think that people, yeah, have verbal diarrhea, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I've probably traumatised many a person.
But this is that same thing again, isn't it? It's like, these comments will stick with these people forever.
Yeah.
But the person who said them will never have thought about them ever
again. No, exactly. That's why it's so horrible.
Yeah. Not much you can do about that.
Anyway, yeah, so that's all.
That's all we've done in our Lasers lockdown week. We still haven't been anywhere or done anything.
No, we haven't. This is literally what... Oh! Sorry, another inside butt.
Maybe just do them rather than announcing them. Just a thought.
I wanted to talk... Can I link the petition in the show notes that I'd be ever so grateful if people actually went and signed about the birthing?
Are you asking me, or is this rhetorical?
Do you think it's okay if I say?
Well, it's too late now. You've started. You've got to say it.
Okay. Right. There's in England at the moment, because of coronavirus, birth partners, i.e. Ollie, has not been allowed to any of my scans, any of my appointments, and he's only allowed in for active labour, which means that, like, when I'm actually at pushing stage. So it means that if I have to be induced or I'm not far enough along, I have to be in labour on my own, basically, in the hospital, if I go into hospital.
Not even Tova's allowed in.
Not even Tova's allowed in. And frankly, I think it's barbaric. I mean, obviously, it's probably one of the most daunting things that I'll ever do, and the fact that I can't have my husband there with me when you're allowed down the fucking... Or I can go to the pub with 6 other people now. Granted, it's not like 12.
5 other people now.
5 other people. He can go and do that, but he can't come and support his wife in labour with his first child. And it's just wrong. And I think
I think the thing is, that sort of seems a bit strange is that, like, I'm allowed in for a certain period of time. and yeah. then I've got to leave.
So he's allowed in for the active labour.
It would
kind
of make more sense if they said, no one's allowed in.
Yeah, exactly. He's allowed in for the active labour, so he could be in there for 8 hours. What's it matter whether you're in there for another three or four hours, you know? It would make such a, like... I don't know, it's just... I'm trying to be really positive about it, and obviously a lot can change in, like, a couple of months, but it's still, like, this looming thing in the back of my mind. I'm kind of like, what if, and it would be really lovely if I didn't have to think about that and have to worry about it. So there's this petition that they're it's been making the rounds on social media, and it has actually been picked up by the press now, and it's under the hashtag but not maternity, where they're campaigning for fathers' birth partners to be allowed to the whole of the birth, and for, like, to all of the appointments. Because that's another thing, like, if you go to your scan, like, I had to go to my scans on my own. If you had bad news, like, at the scan, which, I mean, thankfully there wasn't, but if
there was...
If you're
going to get bad news, that's it.
Yeah, and I'd have to deal with that on my own. It's just horrible, and, like... Yeah, and I completely understood, obviously, in lockdown that it was keeping all the nurses and the doctors safe and to make sure that they were able to get to work and stuff and weren't all struck down by coronavirus. I completely understood that. But, like, now, when it's kind of infuriating that everyone, like, is going back to normal, and still, I am still having to deal with the looming thought that I might have to deal with going into labour on my own.
Yeah.
It's shit. So yeah, I'm going to link the petition in the show notes, and I would be so grateful if you could either share it or sign it, or both. It would make a massive difference to me and lots of other pregnant people's lives if yeah, that was changed.
Because the only other thing I'm gonna have to do is dress up as a doctor and sneak in.
I'm not joking. I will literally be like, I'm going home. Like, yeah. If they don't let you in, like, I don't want to be like, I don't want to make life difficult for them. But, like, I just, yeah,
don't want to be on your own.
I mean, they're all very, like, obviously all the nurses and the midwives and stuff are all lovely and very reassuring, and, like, you know, I'm sure they'd be fine. But no one is obviously...
No, it's scary. It's understandable.
It's scary, and it's obviously no one knows me better than Ollie, and Ollie knows me inside out. He's been my comfort blanket for, like, 12 years, almost 13 years, and much rather have... No one is going to be more of a comfort to me than him. And, yeah, it's just... I just, yeah.
Yes.
What about the women who are actually giving birth? What about, like, their protection and their... health and, you know,
yeah.
Just...
I think that's the problem with it, is it's like, it's not, we're not in the strict part of lockdown anymore now. It's like, yeah, like you say, people are going to the pub, you know, they are saying on the news, oh, you should all be getting the train back to work and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and there's people who've been told that they have to go and work in, like, department stores where they, you know, serve random people all day. And it just seems like this sort of strange discrepancy between...
It's like they've just forgotten about pregnant people.
Well, no, it hasn't, but it's just you're not contributing anything
so,
to the...
So, yeah, exactly, we're last,
by
on,
having
last on the fucking list.
You're probably not last, but you're not at the top.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
us hard-working art gallery people are last on the list. No one ever thinks about us.
Yeah, so I know that's kind of like a miserable... thing to kind of end on, but I did just kind of want to mention that because it's important to me at the moment,
and all ladies who are about to have babies.
Yeah, I very much feel for you if you're having to also deal with this. It's not nice, and yeah, I just think,
and to the men who are having to put out with their hiccuping wives, I'm here for you.
I just think, like, with, like, birth, like, obviously, like, it's the... Everything says, like, the best thing you can do is, like, not be stressed out and to be as calm as humanly possible, and, like, just being on your own, how is that helping at all in any way?
It doesn't help with calmness.
No. Yeah, so on that cheery note, what do I usually say now?
Goodbye.
God, I don't usually do... Oh, we haven't done... I'm sorry. This has all gone very sporadic with... I feel like I've got so much on my plate at the moment that I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to put any more pressure on myself. I'm just... When we feel like recording, we're going to record and try and get them out as often as we can. But I'm not going to fucking sit and beat myself up for not doing it because, yeah.
Well, no, and I don't, you know... No, there's a billion podcasts in the world. No one's so desperate that they're like, I need one every week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I always listen to this one with Rhys Darby that he does called The Cryptid Factor.
Yeah.
And they do, every time they do it, they're like, right, we're back now. We're doing it. We're going to do it every week. And they do like three in a row and then they won't do one for a year.
So we're not that bad.
So we're not that bad. And then they're like, we're back. But it's like a nice surprise when you see one coming. So let's go for that. We'll go for the nice surprise of things.
Yeah, we're surprising you in your earbuds every now and again. So yeah, come and follow me and Ollie on Instagram at OlliePlace, at FineliaArtwork. And shoot me a message about, and if you've watched any of those films, what did you think?
Tell us if something terrifying has happened to you while you're watching a horror film.
Yeah, that's fun. And we will speak to you again soon.
In a year or less. Goodbye.
Bye.